Just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
News Radio 840 WHAS. Good Sunday morning. Bob Sekulder at the Louisville Real Estate Show with you again. Until the top of the hour, thank you for joining us. I hope you're having a good Sunday. Joining us on the air this morning, Cora Henderson, who's one of the big shots over at Pitt & Frank Attorneys, LLC. You can pick the closing attorney that you want, and Pitt & Frank does a phenomenal job, as well as other things that they do. You can reach Cora and the folks over there at 895-9900. Also here, Brad Lawler. He's owner of Home Team Inspection Services. They are the number one Home Team Inspection Service 9 years in a row. They come in as a team, and they do a great job. You can reach Brad and the inspectors over at Home Team at 844-411-TEAM. And if you're thinking of selling your home or buying a home, I have a team of agents that can help you buy, and I'm the guy who's responsible for coming out, talking to you about what the process is for selling your home. And I bring my computer with me, and we actually look at the comparables live. Now, I don't bring anything pre-printed in the way of comps because we don't know what you've done to your house until you get there. So I get there. So we get there, we look, I look, and then we come up with numbers that will hopefully help you in terms of coming up with a price. And then it's a free, no obligation analysis. You can reach me at 376-5483 or go to bobsellslouisville.com. All right. A little later on in the show, we're going to talk about, should you put aluminum foil in the dishwasher when you wash your dishes? We'll figure that out. We start with our emails, because we are doing emails in our COVID environment. This one's going to go to Cora. Kathy called me with this question. She owns a condo. Recently, the condo association came in and took one of her favorite bushes, which also happened to cover her electrical box and light timer in the front of her house. They took it out, and she's upset because no one ever asked her. And she's wondering, can the condo association come into her area of her condo, which she says is part of an attached building of about 8 units, and do whatever they want with the way of landscaping or making changes? Cora.
Great question, Kathy. And I understand having your favorite plants. So I get that piece of it, especially whenever you've seen it grow and maybe it blossoms this time of year, some pretty flowers. I have those that I look forward to every spring. Mm-hmm. So my first question would be is this condo something where you own from the walls in? So oftentimes that will be the case. And then the condo association will manage the grounds and the exterior of the buildings and so on and so forth. So the first question would just be to confirm, is this something owned in fee simple? Do you own the exterior and the land and the dirt? Or is this something where you just purchased and hold title to essentially the walls in?
Now, so I can tell you, I looked this up for her because she called me, and she owns the walls and the land in, because I looked on PVA to see what type of land was associated with her condo, and there's zero.
Gotcha. Yeah. So then, of course, that would be allowed for them to come in and revise, replace, correct the landscaping. But let's just go down another path, that if, in fact, that was not the case, or if it was a single family dwelling, many times developments will have restrictions in place, especially relative to utility boxes and those types of landscaping schemes around the utility items there. So I know, for instance, my subdivision has one of those, and they even have a grounds committee for that. Now, that doesn't mean that they are in charge and can go in and rip out bushes in the front of your single family dwelling, but just as it relates to the utility boxes. But it sounds like in this instance, it's something that is maintained, in fact, is not even yours. Although, again, I understand having to part with that. So long story short, maybe it's something you can regrow or do a little hydroponics or something inside the condo and try to replace that beautiful view. And certainly you can make suggestions, but it sounds like they're well within their rights to have taken that.
Which is why you need to attend condo or homeowner associations to get to know what the rules are and who to talk to ahead of time if something like that is going to be talked about in terms of doing some sort of landscaping. Stay in the know, is I guess what I'm saying, right?
Or, yeah. Correct.
We move back over now to Brad Lawler at Home Team Inspection. Jacob looking for some advice from us. And in this email, he writes, he says, we bought a home 3 years ago. At the time, the inspector made some small comments about the roof, but didn't make it out to be any big deal. And since Then we've noticed small leaks. So we're talking about a 3-year period, Brad. Gotten some pros out to look at the problem. They said the roof was not installed correctly, and there are major issues. Apparently, no one ever said anything in the term home, the home inspector, and should have caught this, according to Jacob. So going back to his inspection, Jacob says there are some caveats about not being roof experts. They try their best, but it seemed like they missed some very basic stuff. So Jacob says, do we have any recourse? Can we go back to the inspector or the seller? Thoughts? And maybe Corey, you want to jump on that at the end.
Well, I'm not sure that anyone's going to like anything that I have to say here. So I would say that the inspector was in there within the scope of of our standards of practice to mention that, we don't do the installations. That part is true. We don't make any reference though about whether or not how an installation was done, because we can't see that. We can only see how the roof is functioning. So we're looking for evidence of water damage. We're looking for water coming in. We're looking for obvious installation problems such as, shingles that are lifting, nail pops, things, damaged shingles. Those are things that are visible to us. It's not a future, it's not a guarantee of future, performance for the roof. And I don't know how their agreement works. I mean, essentially my agreement, covers for a period of 12 months. If something happens during that 12 months that we would, be able to come back out and take a look. 3 years, there's a lot of things that have happened within 3 years of time. I mean, a lot of storms, a lot of wind, a lot of just, conditions have changed significantly. Unfortunately, what I'm hearing is a very common roofer sales technique, in that, oh, they should have caught this. Oh, they should have seen this. It's a great way to sell a roof. And what I will tell you is anytime you get any tradesman coming in and saying, oh, your home inspector should have known, then the first thing you do is call the home inspector and have a conversation with him. Because it's a concept called last man in the door. It's a concept that basically says the guy that comes in, the last guy to come in, gets to tell the story. He gets to create the narrative. And it's oftentimes done as a sales technique, not as here's really what's going on. So I'm always going to recommend a second opinion. If you need, another roofing opinion, give my office a call. Bob, I know you know roofers as well. I'm sure that they would be happy to, come take a look, see what's really going on out there. Because unfortunately, there's too many salespeople that prey on the general public just because there's not an awareness, and it's easy to, cast blame on somebody really just as a way to, try to sell a new roof.
Got it. Reminder, coming up after the break, we explore a TikTok hack. Should you put aluminum foil in the dishwasher? Have you heard about that? Where?
Wow, no.
All right, yeah, we'll find out why and we'll hear back. A reminder, if you want to see a copy of this show, you can go to LouisvilleAnswers.com. That is a redirect directly to our YouTube channel where this show will reside. And also, if you want to hear about what sellers are saying about us or read about it, you can go to LouisvilleZillow.com or LouisvilleGoogle.com. We're really proud of our reviews. We go back over to Cora Henderson over at Pitt and Frank Attorneys. Hannah put $75,000 into her home. She was on the deed with her ex-husband. He passed away. Their two kids are now owners of a quarter of the home. And Hannah is asking in this email, can she sell? And if she does, can she recoup the money she personally put into the home? She says she does have receipts. What would you say, Cora?
Oh, great question. So without going too far down a rabbit hole in titling, I would want to check that deed to see if her and her ex-husband had owned title together as joint tenants with rights of survivorship or just tenants in common. I suppose in this scenario, it was verified that it was tenants in common, being that you said that the children had a share. So therefore, his share, his interest in the property, it sounded like went to his heirs at law or his beneficiaries under his will. So we'll make that assumption. But for our viewership, just again, always a good spot there to see how you took title, because it's possible if it was in survivorship that the surviving member, or in this instance, Hannah, would own the property in its entirety. So let's just assume it was tenants in common. And so we've got multiple owners there and they do go to sell the property. Well, I'm assuming then the cooperation is there. Everyone wants to sell the property, but maybe everyone doesn't want to let her get her $75,000 out first. And so we see this quite often with what we call unmarried cohabitants. And so before we have unmarried couples taking title, or really anyone, it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. But when we have folks taking title together like that who are unmarried, you're just a conversation piece about whether or not we need a cohabitation agreement. In its most simplest form, a cohabitation agreement is going to account for who invested what into the property, who's paid for taxes, who's made improvements, who's made those mortgage payments, what happens upon death. And so that way there is some sort of agreement in place that someone would get reimbursed out of the proceeds before those proceeds are split based upon, you know, how that was paid for over the years.
But
so
Carl, I would think, let me interrupt. So, but that's not going to help Hannah since this has already transpired. So does she do anything? Can she do anything?
And yes, I think that we can glean some from how the courts have interpreted those cohabitation agreements to say that if she has receipts, if she can prove that those were improvements and therefore helped increase the marketability and that bottom line purchase price for the real property, I would like to think that a court would allow for her to recoup her investments, that $75,000. But is it foolproof? Absolutely not. And it may require a court action. So she can't just simply say, hey, I'm going to wave a magic wand, title company, you go ahead and put a line item for that $75,000, because in reality, there's no written agreement for that. Mm-hmm. And there's no lien on the property to account for that work. So if the children want to fight that, or the other title holders want to fight that, again, it could require a court action. Just going over the cohabitation agreements, that's why I was hopeful that a court may say, okay, based upon the receipts and how we view that these were legitimate improvements to the property that led to a higher purchase price, they may find that she's entitled to those monies back before those proceeds are split.
But it would go to a court, which would be costly because she's got to hire an attorney and go to court.
Absolutely. It's going to take money to make money there unless you have mutual agreement, which they may not have. So if the children challenge her, we may be looking at a court action.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we explore this TikTok hack a little later on. Should you put aluminum foil in the dishwasher? Yes. A little later on in the show, we're going to talk about should you put aluminum foil in the dishwasher when you wash your dishes. We'll figure that out. Continuing with us, Cora Henderson, Pitt and Frank Attorneys. They do a great job at getting your loan closed and a variety of other things. You can reach Cora at 895-9900. Also here, continuing, Brad Lawler, owner of Home Team Inspection Service. They come in as a team. You can reach Brad at 844-411-TEAM. He also owns Team Bug Out, which will help get rid of your pests like termites and all. Again, 844-411-TEAM. And if you're thinking of selling your home now or in the future, I would love to be able to talk to you about what the process is. All you need to do is give me a call. I'll come out free, no obligation. We just talk about what needs to be done or not done, and then what the value of the home is, using my computer to give you comparables. You can reach me at 376-5483 or go to bobsellslouisville.com. We're back in a moment on News Radio 840 WHAS.
Hi, I'm Brad Lawler with Home Team Inspection Service, the area's largest home inspection company. Our teams of dedicated professionals, including many veterans, inspect thousands of homes in Louisville and Southern Indiana each year. And team makes all the difference. Extra sets of eyes and overlapping duties means a more thorough inspection and better value for you. Multiple teams mean we're able to inspect your home when you need it. Radon testing, home inspection, termite reports, one call does it all. Get the team, get Home Team.
Pitt and Frank has been serving your community for over 30 years in real estate closings, and our title professionals educate the real estate industry both locally and throughout the state. Tell your loan officer and realtor to close with Pitt and Frank, where we pride ourselves on being your trusted real estate closing expert. Pitt and Frank, signed, sealed, and delivered at 502-895-9900. That's 502-895-9900.
Looking to sell your home and maximize your profit? I can help you. Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Sekolar, owner of the Sekolar Team, Remax Properties East. We can buy your home, but the way to get top dollar is to let me sell it on the open market. With me, you're selling it on your terms, ensuring you're in control every step of the way. Call me, 376-5483. That's 376-5483, or go to bobsellslouisville.com.
In today's real estate market, you want someone you can trust in the driver's seat. In Louisville, that's Bob and Greg Sekolar. Bob and son Greg have helped thousands of families just like yours turn challenges into solutions. They can give you a guaranteed sale of a custom marketing system to get your home sold on your timeline and for the most money, and they have an instant cash offer program.
You deserve the best there is. Bob and Greg, go to WeSellLouisville.com.
You'll be glad you did.
News Radio 840 WHAS, Bob Sokoler, the Louisville Real Estate Show. We're here with you until the top of the hour. And thank you, Barbara Corcoran, a friend, a mentor, of course, from Shark Tank fame. And she's well known around the country and the world these days for a variety of other projects that she's involved in. Continuing with us, Brad Lawler. He's the owner of Home Team Inspection Service and Team Bug Out. You can reach Brad for an inspection, 844-411-TEAM, and also to get Team Bug Out on board with you. Continuing also with us, Cora Henderson, Pitt & Frank Attorneys, LLC. They do a great job of getting your loan closed. You can call Cora and her group at 895-9900. And if you are thinking of selling, I would love to be able to help you. All you need to do is give me a call. Come out for a free no-obligation analysis. The direct cell phone number for me on my cell phone, day and night, 376-5483. Or go to BobSellsLouisville.com, fill out the form, hit submit, and I will get back to you as soon as humanly possible. All right, so I heard about this TikTok hack, and I had to explore it. Do you, to get your silverware looking its shiniest, supposedly TikTok has this thing about wadding up some aluminum foil, put it in the dishwasher basket with your silverware, and then you'll have sparkling silverware. And supposedly here's how it works. And feel free, Cora, Brad, to jump in here. If your silverware comes out of the dishwasher looking dull and dirty, this is supposedly going to clear up scratches and grimy silverware stains. So the next time you load your dishwasher, you take a second and rip off a piece of aluminum foil, crumble it up, put it into a ball, toss it into the compartment in the cutlery basket area, run the cleaning cycle like usual, and you'll get shiny silverware every time. Now, the explanation has to do with how the foil ball interacts with the chemicals in your dishwasher tablets. It's not the foil actually cleaning the silverware. The reaction is sort of an oxidation process where tarnished silver is soaked in water and powdered detergent, and the chemicals in the detergent interact with the chemicals in the aluminum foil. This process leaves your tarnished silverware looking as good as new. Okay, I did not try this yet. Anybody thoughts on it? No, Brad, I'm looking at you.
You probably just hear the rocks.
So I hear it works. Yeah. It was it was in an article in Southern Living.
So
I can see, like, you know, all things chemical reactions in the science. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty nifty. You could even, like, you know, I put Reynolds wrap or parchment paper under my, you know, pizza when I put it in the oven. So you could recycle that and just wad it into a ball instead of throwing it away, throw it in to polish your silverware. But a couple questions come to mind. One is, you know, in this day and age, your utensils aren't always made of silver, so they may not have that same chemical reaction. And then two, like, I know they say and they claim that it doesn't, like, hurt anything that you ingest, but when you start talking about chemicals and things that I put in my mouth, like utensils, I'm like, do I want it having a chemical reaction? Maybe I ought to just, like, clean it with, like, vinegar and water or something a little bit more holistic.
Here's all I'm going to say, and I have no idea about this. All I know is that when you throw an aluminum pan into your dishwasher, no matter what kind of soap you're using, whatever type of powder or tablet you're using, it always comes out a little bit dull, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I'm not buying this. And of course, if it's true silver, I'd never put it in a dishwasher anyway. I'd always hand wash that.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's TikTok, so consider the source.
Consider the source. We take no responsibility if you put that silverware in there and it does not, or it destroys it. I'm just telling you what TikTok is saying. Okay. A reminder, if you want to see what sellers are saying about us, videos that I've done, you can go to LouisvilleSellersTalk.com, LouisvilleSellersTalk.com. Back over to Brad Lawler, Home Team Inspection Service. Madison wrote us an email that when I saw this, I said, I've got to address this immediately. Actually, Brad, you need to. Madison says, although you hire and pay a home inspector, he's actually working for the lender. He fills out his report so they can accurately determine a sale of your purchase by the lender. Madison says that when she bought her house a year ago, she asked the inspector questions about the construction of the house, and he said that what I was looking for and inquiring about wasn't relevant for the finance company. Brad, you want to address this, please?
So it sounds like she's talking about an appraiser, not an inspector, because the home inspector has nothing to do with the lender. We work exclusively for the buyer. In fact, we have to have authorization from the buyer to share information with the buyer's agent. So we work for the buyer. Our job is to do a visual inspection of the functional aspects of the home. We're just looking to see whether or not things work. It has nothing to do with the value of the home. It has nothing to do with anything other than, hey, here's some maintenance things that might need to be addressed. Here's some issues that might need to be addressed that are going to cost you money down the road. Use our information to then negotiate your final price or your final, package, whatever you're going to do with your agent. Yeah, we don't set values. We don't work for lenders. And I mean, frankly, let's face it. I mean, for a lot of lenders, there's no requirement to even do a home inspection. That's the appraisal, I think, that she's connecting to.
And I also will tell you that, and Cora, jump in on this, we're seeing more and more where appraisers are actually doing inspections, and it has been a case for FHA and VA maybe, but now even conventional doing inspections and looking at things for the lender. Have you?
Sure, any safety deficiency, they're likely going to notate, because at the end of the day, the bank concerns themselves with collateral. They want to make sure that whatever they're lending money on, it's safe. It's going to be around. It's not, if there's bad electrical, they don't want it burning down. They want to make sure they have that continued collateral and that it meets whatever type of monies that they're lending out. So if the appraiser comes in and values at $300,000 and that's what they want to make sure that all of that jives and it's equal to. But at the end of the day, if there's some concerns about that viability of collateral, like I mentioned, the safety deficiencies, they're going to require that it be remediated prior to closing, because otherwise it puts that collateral at risk. And that, in fact, is their security for the repayment of the debt. That's what a mortgage is.
Okay. This next question may seem like it's going to Brad, but it's actually going to Cora over at Pitt and Frank. Terry is a renter here in Louisville, has a home on the south side that Terry's renting. And in this email, he says he has lived in his house 3 years and just discovered, and he doesn't know whether they're rats or mice. He's not sure, quite frankly, what they are in the basement. He's got an estimate from an extermination service to get rid of the critters, but he's wondering who's responsible for paying for it. That's where it comes down. Should it be him as the renter or the owner of the house, Corn?
That is a great question. And I really kind of have to start, because I think it relates to this, and making sure that we're all aware of a very recent news story that came out this week in regards to pop-up visits on behalf of Metro into renters' homes. So essentially, they say they're going to give notice. It could be a couple weeks, but they want to randomly select certain rental properties, and they want to have pop-up visits, and they want to inspect them. So they want to make sure that codes are being met, that there aren't any safety concerns. I think someone in one news story had mentioned that a woman and her child have been living on oven heat for the winter. And so just those conditions obviously are not satisfactory. So, imagine, Terry, if there was a pop-up visit, and then came to be, well, a rodent infestation, that doesn't seem safe to me at all. So I think we probably need a little bit more facts. I would want to look at the lease agreement, but I think given that we have this recent news story and we've got these inspections, there will hopefully be push for more landlords to go ahead and make those improvements, anything code related, anything safety related, to go ahead and get that taken care of for their tenant, because we're in an environment now where if they call to complain, the city's going to listen.
Brad, rats, mice could be either.
Yeah. It certainly could be either. And one of the things, you talk about sanitation, safety and sanitation are two key elements that the landlords are concerned about, right? But I think that the sanitation oftentimes goes to the person living in the space. So it could be either one. Bob, we see a lot of situations where we're doing, exclusion work, where we're filling holes and we're preventing, mice and rats from getting into homes. So that sounds kind of like landlord side. But once you get into a space, if it's filthy, dirty, if there's a lot of conducive environments, like the office, unfortunately, I was treating this week, that has a lot of food around that brought in a lot of mice. Is that the landlord's problem, or is that, caused by the tenants? So I think we're in a little bit of that both sides. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of the landlords that we work with, property managers we work with, pay for, like general pest control where you're kind of preventing things, but oftentimes you get other things that come in that are, you know, kind of created by the tenants.
And two other points here, I think it would behoove the landlord just to help mitigate any further damage. So it's easier when you have one mice, two, three, you know, to eliminate that, to plug those holes until you have an infestation, which is going to be a much bigger problem. So it would be in their best interest to cure that. Secondly, I want to mention that, of course, the landlord is to provide a habitable premise there for the tenant to occupy. So with that warranty of habitability, somehow if the premises become uninhabitable, unsafe, you mentioned sanitation, safety, so on and so forth, then we've got a different conversation. And again, it could be a default on behalf of the landlord for not providing such a premise, not making that home habitable for them. So it's definitely fact derivative. We probably need a little bit more information. You know, are they being bitten by the rats? I mean, is there riddled with disease opportunities? I mean, we can go down a whole nother rat hole on that. But I think that, again, we're in an environment where, if I'm Terry, I would absolutely bring it to the landlord's attention. One, you have to let them know. And then two, give them the opportunity to cure, to make right. Before I self-solve and say, well, fine, I'm going to pay it, I'm going to give them the opportunity to do the right thing and then see where that goes from there.
And keep receipts if you do end up paying for it. Yep. Thinking of selling your home? We have a free no-obligation booklet. It has hundreds of useful tips. And if you'd like a copy, send an email to me, bob@wesellouisville.com. Put selling tips in the subject line. And by the way, if you want a free estimate of what your home is worth, we have a system on our main page of our website, wesellouisville.com. Go to the top, you'll see, click on it and enter the information, and it will give you an estimate within a couple of moments. Back over to Brad Lawler over at Home Team Inspection. William was a smoker 25 years, and in this email, says he's planning to sell his home, and friends say he's got to get rid of the cigarette smell because it will reduce the value of the home, and he's wondering, will it reduce the price of his home? And I would tell you, absolutely it will, and he's wondering, how do I get rid of the smell, Brad?
Yeah, best things to do is take anything that is fabric, soft textile. So, you know, any upholstered furniture, carpets, you know, sheets, pillows, anything that has been in the house that has absorbed that smell, you're going to either have to remove it from the property or clean it. So that's the starting point. As far as painting, you can paint the walls with things like kills to seal in the nicotine that gets embedded in the wall. And that will help dramatically with the smell. You may have to do duct cleaning as well in order to get the smell out of all the dust and debris that may be in the air ducts as well. So it can be done. It's going to take a little bit of work, but yeah, you're going to have to start with the contents and figure out all the soft materials are going to have to be cleaned or taken out in order to start getting the smell to abate.
What about those ozone machines?
I've had no success with ozone machines. And of course, ozone is a pollutant, so I'm not a big fan of bringing O3 into your house anyway, because I mean, that's one of the things that we're trying to prevent in the summer smog months, right? We have the ozone alerts. So I'm not a big fan of them. And those are just capturing particles and dropping them to the ground anyway. So I think that's a temporary thing. But again, it's going to have to be cleaned. And I don't think long term it's great to be. And I, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know all the ins and outs of that kind of exposure, but I would not personally use an ozone machine.
I did a little research according to the CDC that 11.5% of U.S. adults are smoking cigarettes. And that was in 2021, and compare that to 2005, where 20.9%. So that's a big difference of people. So yeah, fewer and fewer people smoking, and they don't want to walk into a home that smells like smoke. So to answer that question, I would definitely tell you, William, you need to think about taking some of the steps.
And Bob, doesn't that go for any sense? You know, because we become nose blind to our own conditions.
Yeah, we do.
So when a friend comes in and goes, man, this house smells like cats. We may not smell it, but you know, when your friends come in and tell you that, bring a friend over with a good nose and have them say, hey, what do you smell here?
Yeah. And when you're selling, don't cover up the smell with candles or one of those Glade plugins, because realtors will see that and immediately know you're trying to cover up a smell. So there you go. We are out of time. My thanks to our guests this week, Brad Lawler, owner of Home Team Inspection Service and Team Bug Out. You can reach Brad and his teams at 844-411-TEAM And also Core Henderson over at Pitt and Frank Attorneys, LLC. They do a great job of coming in and getting you ready to close and to the closing table, and they are just great folks. You can reach Cora and the folks over at Pitt and Frank at 895-9900. And if you're thinking of selling your home this year or next, or even buying a home, I'd love to help you. That's what I'm here for. That's what I do when I'm not doing this radio show. I'll come out free, no obligation, estimate of what the home is worth, how to get you going, what the timeline might be. You can reach me anytime on my cell phone, 376-5483, or go to bobsellslouisville.com. We are out of time. See you next Sunday on News Radio 840 WHAS.